you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
This is the 49ers Insider Podcast brought to you by Big O Tires, and I'm joined by Laura Britt. And Laura, we're a week into free agency, into the new league year, and any big surprises, any comments, questions, intrigue, anything that really got you your heart pumping over the first week of free agency?
There are so many things, so many moves, not specifically with the 49ers outside of the DeForest Buckner deal that got done, but Tom Brady to the Bucks, Emmanuel Sanders to the Saints. Holy cow, the NFC just got a lot more difficult. Also specifically in the NFC West with DeAndre Hopkins going to the Cardinals. I think things in the NFC, the competition's going to be fierce in 2020.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess kind of the common denominator there is those teams who are in direct competition with the 49ers, they all really improved their passing games. And I was looking back at week one last season when the 49ers and the Bucs played a pretty good game. It ended up being a two-touchdown difference, and Jameis Winston threw two pick sixes to the 49ers. Richard Sherman had one, and Akello Witherspoon had one. And the move that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made this offseason is to greatly reduce the number of mistakes made by their quarterback. Winston had 30 interceptions last year. Tom Brady coming in, he is not going to give the ball away as much as their former quarterback did.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And it's still, I know I said on last podcast just how weird it is going to be to see Tom Brady in a uniform besides the New England Patriots, but that's going to take some time and some getting used to, that's for sure. Emmanuel Sanders, he was just so important to the young 49ers wide receivers. And I know you got the chance to talk to Kendrick Bourne this week on this edition of the podcast, and I just know how much he was valued. His wisdom was valued. And even in his parting message on Instagram and on Twitter, saying goodbye to the 49ers and the faithful, just how welcomed he was. The chemistry in that locker room that we've talked about for, you know, ever and ever, amen. It was so real for him, but also just that specific wide receiver room, what he brought to them and the knowledge that he brought. He was immediately respected in the 49ers wide receiver room. So that's definitely a big, it's going to be a big missing piece for the 49ers, but I'm sure they learned a lot from him and will carry that on as they move forward.
Yeah. And Emmanuel Sanders played in two Super Bowls before he came to the 49ers, and he wanted to get back to a third. He did. And now I guess kind of his legacy with the 49ers is that he was here for a half a season. The 49ers made it to the Super Bowl with him on the team. And now some of these young guys like Deebo Samuel and Kendrick Bourne, they now have big game experience in large part because of the contributions that Emmanuel Sanders made. And to me, it also kind of showed that the 49ers were going a certain point with Emmanuel Sanders as far as the contract that they were going to offer him. But at some point, they also kind of fell back to, we have confidence in the young guys to take it from here. And whether that is Deebo Samuel, Kendrick Bourne, the guys who are coming back from injury, Trent Taylor and Jalen Hurd, and, you know, Dante Pettis, you know, kind of regaining his mojo, and Richie James, but also with that 13th overall pick that they got from the Colts in the DeForest Buckner trade, it could be a young wide receiver being added to the mix too.
When you think about that 13th pick, you think of You've talked, you know, in depth, and you've written in depth on the My Teams app about how deep this wide receiver class is. So you definitely think that that's a direction that they could go and probably will go. I just always am a little hesitant with, you know, we talked about this on a previous episode, with just the speed of the NFL, and it does take some getting used to and some adjusting, especially at the wide receiver role, and especially with Kyle Shanahan's offense. It's, you know, it's been proven and documented that it is nutty land for people to try and learn Shanahan's offense. But not saying that that's not possible for a rookie receiver to come in and do that. I think it's just going to be a tall task.
And you know what? This offseason, it's going to be probably an even taller task, because we don't know if there's going to be an offseason program. At this point, if I were a betting man, I would probably say that there won't be. And it's going to be probably a lot like the 2011 season, when the NFL had the lockout going on and labor unrest, and none of these teams got together until training camp. I think it's going to be a situation where, you know, these rookies are going to have a really difficult time, because they're potentially going to come into the team and it's going to be hitting the ground running. It's going to be 0 to 75 in, you know, 0.3 seconds. They're not going to have that time to really get themselves familiar with the playbook and the offense. So there are going to be a lot of complications. Obviously, this is highly speculative, because we don't know what's going to happen with the coronavirus, COVID-19. But it certainly would appear that these incoming rookies in 2020 will not have the same benefits of being around the team and learning the playbook with the amount of time that previous draft classes had.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that you bring up, because while we're all disrupted and a lot of people are dealing with, you know, dire circumstances right now, and then a large number of us are also, you know, on lockdown at home, sheltering in place, these players are in the same situation as us. Many of them are not, you know, they're able to train maybe in private facilities at their homes or, you know, away from other people. But that's been something that I've thought about a lot too. It's just keeping the training up, and the level of training that these professional athletes do during the off season is so important to how they perform during the season. We saw that with the 49ers. I mean, George Kittle, not that he had a bad 2018 season, because he didn't, but in 2019, a lot of the coaching staff was touting his off-season program and his off-season workouts, you know, for helping him come back ready to go again for 2019. And on the other side, there were some other players that kind of got in trouble for not having the best off-season workout. So I think that's a really important factor that a lot of people aren't talking about during the off-season and during this period right now, that we're all in uncertainty and we're all in weird circumstances, and this is definitely uncharted territory for the entire world. I know that that's going to be difficult for these players. And then if they don't have that opportunity to get together as a team, and whoever the 49ers draft, if the draft goes on as planned, you know, they're not going to have that time that you get to learn the playbook and, you know, get up to speed with the NFL speed, because the NFL speed is on a different level than college.
Yeah, so a lot of people's schedules have been thrown into flux. A lot of questions, what's open, what's not open. And right now, we're going to bring you a very important message from Big O Tires about how they are approaching this during this unprecedented time.
Big O Tires is open and here to serve you. In accordance with the shelter-in-place mandate, Big O Tires is considered an essential business, and most locations remain open. Big O Tires is committed to protecting the safety and health of our guests and team members. To serve your budget needs, Big O is offering flexible finance options. Big O Tire Stores, open to serve you. Call your local Big O Tire store for store hours and information. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
We're back on the 49ers Insider Podcast. I'm Matt Miocco, She's Laura Britt, and we're talking San Francisco 49ers.
That's what we do each and every time. It's a shocker because it's called the 49ers Insider Podcast, so you would never think that we would talk about the 49ers.
Truth in advertising. How about that?
We don't lie.
We do not lie. We are 100%. Hey, the 49ers added a couple of new, actually three new faces in free agency after really kind of laying low the first several days as they kind of sorted things out with their own free agents. But they've added Tom Compton, who I would think is battling for a starting job. 49ers released Mike Person, but I would think still that Daniel Brunskill is kind of the guy to look for to be the starting right guard. They also added from the Arizona Cardinals a backup linebacker, special teamer, Joe Walker, and then a player that they added on Monday as well, Kerry Hyder. He's an edge rusher. Had a really good season in 2016 under Chris Kocurek, the 49ers defensive line coach. He was with the Detroit Lions then. He had 8 sacks, but in 2018 and 2019, only combined 2 sacks. But he's kind of a rotational player too. So all those guys will be fighting for roster spots as the 49ers look to round out their roster for the 2020 season. But you'd mentioned something earlier, Laura, in talking about the challenges now of facing some of the teams on the 49ers schedule, and cornerback is a spot where I think they will look to address pretty early in this draft.
Yeah, so with the DeForest Buckner trade, they get the 13th overall pick. The 49ers also have the 31st overall pick, and so the question is, what do they do there? I think it's pretty known across the board that we think they're going to go with a wide receiver at 13, but you really just don't know how these things are going to shake out until the draft starts, because when you think you know how a team's going to draft, that's when you get it wrong. I mean, usually the first, you know, 2 or 3 picks, everybody has pretty right, but after that, it's a free-for-all. You just really don't know what's going on in those, you know, those meeting rooms and what teams are targeting. So there's no doubt they need to add a wide receiver. And yeah, they need more depth elsewhere on their roster too. There's no doubt about that.
Do you realize the 49ers I didn't even think about this until I looked it up last week. They take a wide receiver, at least one wide receiver, every year in the draft. And what's interesting is they've taken a wide receiver 17 consecutive years. And at the end of last year, they only played 3 wide receivers. One of them was a second-round draft pick, a rookie, Deebo Samuel. The other was a guy they traded for, Emmanuel Sanders. And the third guy was an undrafted guy that they signed in 2017, Kendrick Bourne. So all those draft picks, and only one was able to get on the field last season.
That's crazy to think about. And no, I didn't realize that they had drafted a wide receiver. Wait, you said 18?
It will be 18 because you know that they're not going to pass up a wide receiver this year.
No, they definitely need a wide receiver this year. So it's 17 years and counting right now.
Yes, that is correct.
And speaking of wide receivers, you got to talk to one of the 49ers wide receivers for this edition of the podcast.
Mr. Energetic, Kendrick Bourne. Man, I mean, how can he be confined inside a house? He needs to work off that energy. And actually, he tells me that he is working off that energy. He has a workout facility close by where he's making his off-season home, his hometown of Portland, Oregon. So here is Kendrick Bourne on the 49ers Insider Podcast. I'm joined now by Kendrick Bourne, 49ers wide receiver. And Kendrick, how are you doing through this very crazy time in our life right now?
I'm doing good, man. Family's doing good. Just staying inside, really, just really bored. Working out, coming home, just hanging out with the fam. So just trying to stay out the way, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, how does a guy with such great energy like you have stay inside of a house all day?
Yeah, it's terrible. I'm just playing Call of Duty. Like I said, hanging out with the fam, getting close. Just really enjoying the time now with family, you know what I'm saying, taking it all in, knowing what people are going through. Some people are, you know what I'm saying, in better situations than others, but you never know what some people may be going through with how serious it is. So everything's okay over here right now. Hopefully it stays that way. But I just try to, I don't know, use my energy inside the house, I guess.
Yeah, so you're in Portland right now?
Yeah, Portland, Oregon.
So you grew up in Portland, Oregon, and that's where you go during the off season as well?
Yes, sir. Born and raised, where my parents' house is. I don't have my own house yet. I'm going to decide where I want to live this year. That was my goal year four, is to find a house that I want. It's where I want to be. I'm not sure if I want to be here. Got a couple places, though, that I got in mind. So we'll see. But I always come back home to my parents' house, man, saving money. You know what I'm saying? Why not? I still got a room upstairs.
Absolutely. And you just went back, what was it, late February? Had an event up there. It's your Born Blessed Autism Foundation. Tell me about that, you had a fundraiser up there in Portland for the first time this offseason.
Yeah, man. Something I've been planning on doing. Just felt like now that I, you know what I'm saying, kind of playing the Super Bowl name, got out there a little bit more, that just will get more, you know what I'm saying, notoriety, I guess you could say, whatever you want to say. People noticing me more. So just feel like I can give back more now that I'm kind of stamped in the league a little bit and not so stressed about trying to make a team as much as I used to be and stuff like that. So just being able to have time to do stuff that I did. The signing went great. Gonna donate the money to probably Special Olympics. That's kind of what I was coming down to. Some would kind of some physical work in it, you know what I'm saying, with autism kids. I want to throw my own autism camp too, but it was just a great event, man. Me and my family decided to start. I had my grandpa, my mom, how we came up with the name was my grandpa passed away when I was a little boy, and our uncles, they both have autism, his sons. And they were like the last ones that, you know, saying that came out for him. They were like the boys, and they're twins, and just how they are about life and stuff, man, and what they're going through. And my papa passing away, like I said in an interview before, my last name was gonna be my dad's last name, Turner, but my papa ended up passing away, so my mom just helped me to keep the last name Born. And I feel like the name just is, it's a heavy name. I feel like it's just something about it that people kind of always talk about, Born Identity or Born, you know what I'm saying? Always, it's just catchy to people. And it's just something that I'm going to outlive his name. And now that his sons that are going, you know what I'm saying, dealing with that stuff, I just felt like it was a good cause for me to be a part of and just bring awareness to. Because when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying, they were the ones to always – take me to do. I used to go to my grandma's house all the time, and I was around them as a kid all my life, and they always were happy. They never were down about anything, even what they were going through. They always wanted to do something. They always were motivated to try to go work, even though they were dealing with it. They always were motivated. And when I was a kid, I just always wanted to do stuff, like go to the park, shoot hoops, play basketball, run, go on the field, just do stuff. And they were always the ones to take me, watch me, be around me, and they loved on me. They really cared about me, and they were always into sports. Even when I was a kid, like middle school, they were always into sports. Like, what do you think about Kobe Bryant? What do you think about this NFL player? Always just asking me little stuff like that. And I just feel like that was one of the reasons I was really into it too. Just because my mom would take us over there about every weekend, or like maybe like a Thursday until Monday. So we're always over there at my grandma's house while they do what they do. And they were always just there for me, man. And everything we wanted to do, they would cook food for us, me and my brother. So I just felt like it was just an area that I really wanted to give back to and just bring more awareness to, man, that just to help people that go through those kind of things, that's going through autism, because those kids are bright. And it's just, they don't have as much opportunity as normal people, if you want to say. And I just feel like they're just as normal as us, especially my uncles. They just make me think about what's good in life rather than what's bad, and to think about the positive things rather than what's going wrong.
And yeah. And that's kind of your personality, right? I mean, that's definitely.
So, yes. And that's where it hits me so hard. That's why I like to, that's why I'm even talking so long on that right now. Like, cause I really thought about it. And cause my mom, you know, we thought of the foundation, but it was just like, okay, what are we going to decide to try to help with? Like, that's the biggest thing. And my mom thought of that idea my rookie year about my uncles and stuff like that. And I was just like, man, that's a great idea. And we could just run with it, man. And So the first event was definitely great. Plan on doing more. I would be probably doing more already, but what's going on? I can't.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned that, you know, this is kind of the first time that you felt like kind of grounded in the NFL and yeah, solidified, and it had to be great. Just last week, the 49ers put the second round tender on you, which is a pretty big deal. So were you thrilled when you found out about that?
Yes, man, definitely thrilled. Just kind of relieved a little bit. Not just just feeling the respect coming around a little bit on my name, and respect from the league and all that, you know what I'm saying, the whole nine yards, especially just going to the Super Bowl, my team being a great team, us making it that far helps everybody, period, and on the team. So just thrilled, man, and thankful for the Niners still believing in me after 4 years now, 3 years, even believing it for year four, man, and just ready to attack it, man. It sucks that our OTAs even postponed. I was really excited to get back and, you know what I'm saying, get to work, be around the guys again, but just a little more time to work now and get a little more polished before OTA. So that's cool too.
And now this message from BMW.
No matter who you are, no matter where you're going, no matter what's next, there's an X to take you there. Lease a BMW X5 xDrive 40i for $719 a month.
How do you think you playing this entire season, your team with 13-3, win the NFC West, you win the, you know, you get the home field advantage, you end up going to the Super Bowl, you have a couple of big catches in the Super Bowl. How do you think that experience of going through everything you went through this year with kind of the target on your back and the big games you played in, how can that help you in future seasons?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it just helps my mindset, man. My brother kind of was joking around the other day, like, man, you like kind of like LeBron James. You got finals experience. And I'm just like, I didn't even think about it like that. But I remember when I think about it, like, it does, man, just how that feels going through all those extra games, playoff games, your body, your mind. I just felt it all. So kind of like I feel like I know the route to get there now, and just more motivated this offseason, just grinding harder. Just trying to make sure I don't lose it again if I ever get there again. And I feel like with Kyle and how he knows how to get there and the people he brings in to make the route getting there easier. Like, I don't know, you know, Kyle's in there, what, twice? I'm probably more than twice. I don't know, twice. And so even probably how he thinks, you know what I'm saying? He wants to win, and his mindset gets more motivated when you lose. So just all those feels I get, I feel like, being in more shape, whatever you want to say, working on my hands, just working on my routes so that the process of getting there, the journey is not as hard as it is. But we work so hard, and you know what I'm saying, we come in prepared. Every week we get prepared that it's easy to get through the week and win on Sunday rather than how we was my first 2 years struggling. I just feel like it's just more motivation going through a loss like that for me, because I don't know how I feel working out now in off season. I'm just so motivated, you know what I'm saying? I want to get up and go to the field more than I did. I felt like those first 2 years, just because, like, man, I don't even know how we're going to be. But now the vision's so clear for the team, you know what I'm saying? We went through the rebuilding. We did all the steps it took, and we got into the highest stage of the game. So I just feel like all the process has been what it's supposed to be. And now that I'm here, it's just a different mindset. Like, I feel better. I feel like I'm better in every aspect, just because I know what's to come, and I can kind of anticipate things and be more prepared. And to say, you know, even the whole team, I feel like we all probably feel like that. And then the sting of the loss is the biggest thing, of course. Yeah.
Well, you know, with Emmanuel Sanders, he's going to be signing with the Saints. Yeah. And this is kind of, I think the team has kind of shown that they're ready for the young wide receivers to kind of take mm-hmm. over. So how much can what you learned from Emmanuel during that half the season he was here, how can that help the guys who are the holdovers, the guys like you and Debo and Dante and everybody, Richie, how can it help those guys just being around Emmanuel and seeing how he works?
Yeah. The biggest thing with Emmanuel was me was just his conditioning and how long he could stay in the game. It was really impressive to me. Because I know I'm like, if I'm in for like four plays, I'll be like huffing and puffing a little bit. So just trying to find that governor on any on my body or anybody's body, I feel like, as a young athlete, and to just be able to push past it. I feel like Emmanuel didn't have no governor. He could be out there seven plays in a row and still impact. I mean, everybody gets tired, of course, but you know what I'm saying? You want some people hit that governor and be like, okay, that's all I have. But really, you might have a little bit more. So that's where I've been focusing on this offseason, trying to get my body to where I hit that wall, but okay, I still got two more plays left in me, you know what I'm saying? Because ain't no telling you might be in 2 minutes. And that 2 minute drill is the toughest time where you might have to go six plays in a row. And so that's where you just teach your body and conditioning the body in a way. And that's just where myself, I feel like I've seen it from him and that I can do it. And he's even older than me and I know I can do it. So those are one of the biggest things for me. And his mindset was just amazing. How he just going through injuries and everything like that, all that kind of stuff. Just learning from that, route running. I feel like his route running was it's top of the league. So just learning all those little things, taking it from him. And that goes for, I feel like, across the board at receiver, man. He's just a living testament to what we want to be. So, you know what I'm saying? Everything he does, how he acts off the field. I mean, some people don't act how people act, but you know, like, it's the proper way to do it because he's been doing it for 11 years now. So there's no doubt that it works what he does. So you should never not try to take tips or listen to when he's talking. Like, and that's my mindset with it. And he tells me all the time that I'm on my way to being something like him. So if just hearing that kind of stuff motivates me even more to keep going, don't quit type, you know what I'm saying, mindset, rather than I can be better than him or don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's totally opposite from that. Like, I try to take everything, man. And I text him all the time. I'm actually close with him.
And what was your conversations like after he announced he was going to the Saints?
Yeah, just all love. Telling me how proud of me he was. And I was telling him how proud of him I was. And just to keep going, really, man. And he's just telling me I'm on my way to signing a big check, too, if I just keep it up, you know what I'm saying, going hard. And I was like, man, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm talking about. So he keeps it real. You know what I'm saying? He's that type of player come in trying to not give tips out. He was always trying to teach us, me and Debo, Dante and us, like, don't do this. You know what I'm saying? This is the better way rather than keeping it to itself, being that kind of vet. You know what I'm saying? He's benefiting all of us being in the room because he's vocal. He's a real leader. You know what I'm saying? Physical leader. He does what he's supposed to do. And it's just all aspects. And that's how you know why he's played this long and why he will play another three more years. Damn, because his mindset is –
So what's your schedule like now? How much are you working out? What's a typical day like during this during the lockdown here for Kendrick Bourne?
First, I'll probably start working out around like 10:30.
Where do you go?
I'm up here at this place called ESP, Elite Sports Performance. It's right over here around the corner from me. Somewhere close. I don't like to drive too far. I just like to get there, get working, and then I'll start with conditioning in the mornings. I'll start with a mile, and then my trainer takes me through some rigorous warm-ups, man. Like, my warm-ups are harder than my workouts. But it's good, though. And then I'll finish with, like, weights, doing a lot of legs and stuff, man, doing a lot more legs and lower body than upper body for the last 3 weeks, just trying to be more firm in my legs and break more tackles, be more elusive in those things. And then, like, Tuesday is kind of the same thing. Start with conditioning. So mostly conditioning in the morning. And then I'll hit the weights around the afternoon. I'll get a break, probably 2 hour break, and then eat lunch and get all my stuff in my, you know what I'm saying, water and stuff, all that, snack, and head back up to get weights. And then I'll stretch, probably go to, like, stretch zone, and then I'm good for the day. Mm-hmm. And that's 5 days a week. So I've been feeling pretty good. First week, after having those days off, I was pretty bad, but like I was throwing up. You probably see my videos. I was just getting it all out of me, and then like now I feel really good. That's why I was pretty bummed about the delay of OTAs, man, because I know that I was gonna come in feeling real good, and but like I said, just getting extra time, so getting more conditioned, so I'll be really ready for OTAs.
Kendrick, that game you had against Seattle where you were disappointed, you had a couple of drops, but then after that, you really turned it on. And I think every time you touched the ball after that, it was either a first down or a touchdown. How can you build on those that positive experience ending the season going into 2020?
Just taking it all in for what it is. Just knowing that, you know what I'm saying, the NFL could put you all the way up there and it could drop you as quick as you just got up there. So, just taking it all in, taking everything that comes with what it is. Like when I had those drops, you say everybody saying, man, you can't catch no more, or you should be cut like off two catches when I, you know what I'm saying, before. They were just loving me. So just knowing that's what comes with it. So not letting it ever mess up my mindset. You know what I'm saying? Fans are going to be fans. And if they ride with you, they ride with you. If they don't like you, they don't like you. It's just how fans work. And like you said, how I turned it around. Then all of a sudden, I'm back on top of the building. Now I'm all everything again. And so just knowing that's how the league works and never getting fazed by it. And like, that's a tip I would give to, like, a young guy. If, you know what I'm saying? You have a good first game and then you have a bad second game. Bro, it just happens. Like, bro, you just never know what's going to happen. So, like, even those catches for me, like, I'm thinking in my head when they're in the air, like, I'm knowing I'm going to catch this. Like, this is easy. And then, boom, like, as quick as that happens, like, now it's at the bottom again. So my mindset is like, I've always been at the bottom. So I've always had to work my way up. And I've never really been fazed by that kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, it's about how the coaches feel about me and not about fans. So if anybody listening, you're a player, former player, and player now, like, it ain't about what people think on the outside. It's about what they know on the inside about you in the building. And that was the biggest thing for me getting past that week, because it was tough, man. I was even mad at myself. And we lost, so it just made it tough on me, man. It was one of the weeks I've never really felt like that. You know, so I've never had that feeling where I was so down on myself. I'm like, man, like, what the heck, bro? Like, you do this every day. But it kind of, you know, say, it just motivated me. Like, it pushed me to be better. Like, I watched the play about 30 times over and over and over and over again. He both drops. Watch it over and over. Just telling myself, okay, you know what I'm saying? It happens. And I felt like doing that to myself, I just over-prepared myself for the next opportunity. But it helped me, you know what I'm saying? So when that ball's in the air, it wasn't nothing but focus on that ball, literally, to my hand, all the way to my hand before I make my move or do what I do. And that's literally how I got past it. And I'm glad, because I haven't felt nothing like that since. So I'm just trying to stay away from that.
Hey, Kendrick, thank you so much for this. It's been fun catching up with you. I wish you and your family well and be safe during this time when we're all kind of on lockdown.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you having me, man. You too, man.
A big thanks to Kendrick Warren for joining us on the 49ers Insider Podcast. And be sure to subscribe to the 49ers Insider Podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, and we'll keep them coming during this very uncertain offseason. Thanks again for listening, and Laura and I will be back here real soon.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.